Hi, I'm Aiden.
And I'm Don Carlo, and you're listening to Binge Watchers,
where we talk about everything TV.
Everything?
Everything. Tune in as we discuss a new show every episode.
And we'll decide if it's binge watchable.
This is Binge Watchers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Binge Watchers Season 2, Episode 2. Holy smokes, DQ. Are you ready for this, buddy?
Yes, I'm so ready for this. This is our new format. We have a lot of new things planned today. Are you excited, Aiden?
DQ, that's a very good question, DQ. I am hella excited for this episode. We got so much to talk about. So much stuff has happened in the world of TV.
Yes.
And we're really, really, really excited to talk about it. So, DQ, why don't you take us away and guide our discussion.
Of course. So the first segment that we are going to introduce is a TV news segment. Yay! Let's have a round of applause
for
that.
What?
I know.
Wow. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Round of applause. Let's
that's
go.
That's what we're talking about. Because so much happens in TV. We're in the golden age of TV. So why don't we talk about what's happening in the world? What's happening
in the
news? So the first thing that I want to talk about is, as you all know, Disney Plus is coming out with a bunch of new Marvel shows. Marvel has transitioned into the TV world that is going to connect to, well, it's already connected to Phase 4 and will connect to the movies. This past week, Kevin Feige, the president of Marvel Studios, he announced at a TCA, Television Critics Association event, that new shows are coming. Well, not that we already knew what the new shows are coming, but he revealed a little bit more details. So the first thing that he revealed is release dates. So, yeah. So you know the show Loki? Aiden, are you excited for Loki?
Oh, yeah. I know the show Loki.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for it.
Loki is coming out on June 11th, which is so exciting.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. June 11th. That's not that far away.
That's not that far away. Yes. Oh, so excited. And it's going to be in the summer, so gonna enjoy seeing Tom Hiddleston up on screen again.
It's gonna be fun to see him back, absolutely.
Yes. Oh god. The next show that is gonna come out after that, he said, is What If, which doesn't have a release date, but it's in the summer. What is What If? What If? Question mark? What is that?
What If is an animated series. Yes. I think one of the first from the MCU, and it's all about like opposite alternate worlds of Marvel. So instead of Steve Rogers being Captain America, it's Peggy Carter. Instead of Peter Quill becoming Star-Lord, it's T'Challa, Black Panther becoming Star-Lord. So it's kind of this alternate universe
yes.
stuff that's that What If is about.
I think I saw like clips and previews of it. Did you see clips and previews of it?
I did. Yeah,
yeah.
It looks really cool.
It looks really cool. It looks almost like a video game. So the visuals
a little
are
bit, yeah.
giving me, so I'm curious.
It's got a cool style though to it. I think mm-hmm. it's gonna be a pretty fun.
Did you see the
I'm
Kevin, yeah, he talked about, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. he was on the set when he was doing this like Zoom like sort of meeting on the TCA. He was on the set of Ms. Marvel, which I'm so excited is coming out. They are almost done wrapping production. So I'm really excited about that. It stars a Pakistani, I think, woman, right? A girl, a character.
Yeah, Miss yeah. Marvel is like, yeah, Miss Marvel is like a teenager. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And she's
she's cool. She's cool. I'm really excited for the
show.
She's
a person of color. We rarely see that in Marvel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, very excited about that. And he said that Hawkeye is currently filming, which is amazing. So that should come out very soon as long as everyone's safe and like COVID protocols and all that. And weeks after that, She-Hulk is going to start production, and then a couple weeks, and then right after that, Moon Knight is going to start production. So, very, very exciting. Yes. And another thing that I have here is that some shows, he said, will have multiple seasons, whereas others will not have multiple seasons. So, like,
oh, wow.
Some will be, like, miniseries, like, potentially WandaVision, which we're currently watching.
We are currently watching.
Loving.
It's getting really spicy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That might be one season, but maybe something like She-Hulk or Ms. Marvel might be multiple seasons. Who knows? Plot details are under wraps on that. And he also said that some shows will connect to the movies or, like, to the other, because you know how, like, the universe is all connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he said that it's not going to be to the point where you need to watch everything in order to understand mm-hmm. what's going on. So like when you watch Doctor Strange, you wouldn't have to watch WandaVision because like WandaVision ties into Doctor Strange, but you don't need to watch like the entirety of WandaVision in order to understand what's going on in the movie. So that's really exciting. Yes, that's it. Of course. On Disney Plus, it's going to be a huge, huge hit. I'm very excited for the future of this cinematic universe.
Same here.
The next thing that we're going to talk about is a new streaming service is launching. Oh my gosh, yet another streaming service is launching.
I believe it's called Paramount Plus,
Paramount Plus, yes. The launch date, I forgot what the launch date is, but it's coming out in a couple months.
There is one show that I have heard that is going to be on Paramount Plus, and that is a new Halo TV series is going to premiere on Paramount Plus.
Curious.
That would be a hit. Yeah. There's a lot of people who really like Halo, myself
included.
Yes,
I was about to say, don't you play the games?
I used to play the games. That was a long time ago, though. But I'm a Halo fan, and if they can do it right, then I'd give it a watch.
Of course, yes. There's so much new stuff that's coming in Paramount Plus. Like, they're insane. Like, here's a quote that I pulled from an article. 30,000 episodes, 2,500 movie titles, and over 1,000 live sporting events, plus around-the-clock news coverage. So they're, like...
What the hell?
They're going insane! Like, Paramount Plus is not playing any games, because they're the last, like, major company. Viacom CBS is the major company, and they're the last ones to come out with a streaming service. They're late, so... I guess they're trying to pull out everything that they can.
Wow.
To beat they're Netflix. Really.
So their goal right now is to just spew out as much shows and as much content as possible.
But I'm so happy because I searched it up and it's coming to Canada. Paramount Plus will come out with revival shows of popular 80s and 90s films. A new Avatar. This is what I'm excited about. A new Avatar Studios. And expanding the universe of Avatar. So they are currently making, the creators of Avatar are currently making new TV shows and new animated movies that will be connected to the Avatar/Legend of Korra universe. I'm so excited.
I gotta give those shows a watch.
I know, Aiden, you will literally love it. I'm surprised you have not watched it.
I watched Avatar The Last Airbender when I was a kid.
Me too.
But I know now that I should probably go.
You gotta rewatch it. You will like. Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful show. It still holds up to this day. It still holds up to this day.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
God, cable's just not gonna be a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's like, already dying. It's just so.
It is already dying.
But it's just so convenient now to have all these streaming services.
I don't want to watch ads anymore.
I don't want to watch ads anymore either. Speaking of ads, it's funny that you mentioned it because. Paramount Plus is actually having an ad-supported feature on Paramount Plus, but it's cheaper. It's a cheaper subscription, so that's a catch. You have it cheaper, but there's ads.
I am personally insulted.
Yes.
I am personally insulted.
So $4.99 per month for ad-supported starting in June, and then for premium, I think that's no ads. Don't quote me on that. It's going to be $9.99. So yeah. And that is all for news.
Nice.
Next up, we will talk about the shows that we have lined up for you for this episode. So Aiden and I have came up with a new format, and today we have a new theme coming for this episode. What is our new theme, Aiden? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's olden time period pieces.
Period pieces. Well, olden time, you say? Is it actually olden time? Because...
Oh, good. Good point. It's not olden time. It's a bit of a remix.
It is. The first show that we're going to talk about is a show that took the world by storm. And that is Shonda Rhimes' new first television series for Netflix called Bridgerton. And let me just talk about the plot for Bridgerton if you haven't already seen it or heard of it, which is probably like odd because the show currently has reached 63 million households. Like, isn't that insane?
What? Yeah. Okay, I did not realize. I knew it was popular, but
you didn't know the number? It was 63 million?
I knew it was big. Oh, I knew it was like number one. Like Netflix's most watched show, but holy smokes, that's a lot of people.
I think it's even more than The Queen's Gambit, so yeah, insane. Queen Gambit was also like 62, 61, so yeah, both popular.
Also a brilliant show.
So the plot follows the wealthy Bridgerton family and their eldest daughter, Daphne, who has come of age to marry. And basically, there's like a bunch of rival families. So there's also the Featheringtons, who are also very important, and they're also a wealthy family that is participating in this debutante season. And when Daphne is out looking for bachelors, she meets Simon, the Duke of Hastings. and they devise a plan to get Daphne more suitors and Simon less offers from wives, mothers, and all that to marry their daughters and stuff like that. And as he despises getting married due to his traumatic past, and it is 19th century period piece, something like that. And that's the plot of Bridgerton. So,
and it's all connected by the mischievous Lady Whistledown.
Oh, Lady Whistledown, yes, voiced by the incredible Julie Andrews. So yeah, there's a Gossip Girl element to it, with this gossiper who is spreading rumors about Daphne and, like, the season and just what's happening in the town. So yeah.
That mischievous Lady Whistledown.
I know you love saying that.
It's a great name. Great name. Really so, rolls off the tongue.
So I was so looking forward to the show, Everett, because I love Shonda Rhimes and I love, like, just romance. And I'm not the biggest fan of period pieces, which is, like, surprising because I absolutely love this show.
Unfortunately, though, I was not as enthusiastic about the show.
Oh, my God.
This will be a historic moment in Binge Watcher's very brief history. This will be the first time me and DQ actually disagree on a show. Unfortunately, I am not the biggest fan of it. I have good reasons.
You have good reasons? Okay, what good reasons could you possibly have? Okay, give it to me.
Let me start with the positives.
Yeah, let's start with
great, great production design.
Oh, you cannot deny
that. It's a
bit
of a remix, but they really, it's a colorful world. It's a great show to look at. Like, it's got great production design. The sets are just fantastic. I'm not too familiar with, like, that era, like, architecture. I'm assuming it's accurate. So it was a very, very pleasing show to look at.
Yes.
And trust me, it's not a bad show. Bridgerton is definitely not a bad show. There's so much positive about it. Yeah. A lot of the characters I did like. I liked Simon. He was one of the main
Simon
characters.
Oh, he was really awesome. He was amazing. Very layered character, which is really good.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the reasons I like about Simon. He's got lots of layers. A lot of the characters are like onions. They got so much layers to them.
Mm-hmm,
and it makes them very likable. But there's just a few characters that I really didn't like them.
Okay, but you didn't like the characters, but like why? Like what is wrong with these characters? Just, who?
I don't know. The Featheringtons. There you go. The Featheringtons I did not like. I really didn't like the plot line centering around the Featheringtons. I found most of them to be very annoying. Like, in Downton Abbey, yeah, they're pretty pompous, but I don't know. They're a little bit more likable.
Like, the Featheringtons are supposed to be pompous. They're supposed to be flawed. Maybe, they're very dysfunctional.
Are they supposed to be? That's why I don't like them, is they're just too pompous.
They're very pompous. They're supposed to be. They're literally based on the Kardashians. Actually,
that's what they're based on. That's why I don't like the Kardashians.
Yeah, and that's another fun fact about the show. The Bridgertons are based on the Kennedys, and you know how their style is like fit for the Kennedys, and the Featheringtons are big bold style, so they are based on the Kardashians. So that's why they're very pompous. But like, come on, like their storyline was so interesting. Like at the end with like, you know, the dad is up to some like schemey stuff. Like there's so much that's why I love Bridgerton. There's so much juicy drama and these characters are so like messed up. Like the Featheringtons are messed up. Like some of the things the mother does is just like why, but like yeah
you make a good point. Some of the plot lines I was a little bit more invested in than others. I was invested in Daphne and Simon. I thought that was the most enjoyable one.
That's the driving force of the show. So like, that's really good. But
I feel like they should have focused on that more. I feel like everything
they
else
did focus really... on. It's literally front and center is Daphne and Simon's storyline. So I don't understand what
they could have made. And they also could have made it like 4 episodes shorter.
Okay, that I don't understand. How can you have possibly
they get married? Okay, this is not a big thing, but they get together around episode. That's when the action starts happening, but they could have edited it there.
That's so original, the fact that they continued after the wedding, is you get to see how relationships are in the 19th century past the honeymoon phase, because Daphne and Simon, not to spoil too much, but once they get together, they experience problems that of a couple that's actually together. It's not like your typical period piece where they get married at the end and it just ends.
Isn't that the most formulaic thing ever? That's it. Could have been season.
Isn't that the most formulaic thing ever? If it ends season one,
I just found the pacing that made the pacing weird for me. I feel like and then after like episode something,
but it gets so juicy after they get together.
I felt I wasn't as invested. I honestly felt like I wasn't as invested. I don't know. Why? The big thing happened, and I did not think it was the worst show. I didn't think it was the worst show in the world.
There's literally themes of consent and, like, marriage and, like, you know, believing in oneself and fighting for love that is just so powerfully done in Bridgerton. You did not care for those scenes?
I do care for that, and that's what I was also going to say. It delves into really good topics.
And that's what happens after episode four. That's when it really gets
into... But they graze them. They don't talk about them. I think they could have talked about them a little bit more to make it more interesting.
There are certain things that I wish they did talk about. There's a lot of queer baiting. That's all I'll say. And there's... Oh my god. There's a character... I think you know who I'm talking about, that I thought was gonna be gay. Like, I'm like, okay, 100%, these two characters are gonna get together and they're gay. And then only one of them was. And, like, the other one, who was, like, more integral to the show, wasn't.
Wait, is that he wasn't gay? I thought they were a couple.
They weren't a couple, no! He got with the...
Howard, they had great chemistry!
They had great chemistry, okay. Exactly, that's... Okay, I'm upset about that.
They would have been a great couple. They would have been a great couple. I'm upset about that.
You know the two guys, right? The painter.
I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. We won't specify.
They didn't get together. He was literally the perfectly coded to become. I'm so mad. So mad.
That's one thing. Nothing really feels like it connects in the end. I feel like everyone kind of just goes and does their own thing.
But it's an ensemble cast. Like they're all dealing with their own set of dramas. You get wrapped up in these characters' stories.
I wasn't getting wrapped up in a few of the stories.
How did you get wrapped up
there
in the stories?
There's
just a few of them
I just didn't get wrapped up in. Like, I really... Okay. Like, Simon meets an old friend that he boxes with. His storyline and his family I got involved with. Daphne and Simon...
And that connects to the Featherington storyline, remember?
A little bit, it does connect a little bit.
But it makes it so interesting.
I didn't care about the father. I just did not care about the father.
Obviously, you don't care about them, but, like... Okay, but one of the Featheringtons you at least care about. Penelope. That's not
that good. Penelope.
Yeah. Penelope was great. I love Penelope. She's so cute. My family and I were obsessed with her.
I can't say that. I wasn't obsessed with any of the characters. The only one I really felt for was Simon... And Daphne. I think that's a good thing. Those are the two main characters. I felt
that's
for Simon.
That's a good thing. But come on. Marina, I felt for. Penelope, I felt for. I love Eloise.
I just couldn't get connected to anyone else. A lot of them were just, they felt so out of touch. They felt like
They were not so out of touch. They were all connected.
They were out of touch with the world. And I feel like they didn't.
How are they out of touch with the world?
I don't know. Maybe they're just too rich. I don't know.
I mean, they're too rich.
I don't know. I couldn't get behind them.
Down Abbey.
I know, but it's weird. Rich, I don't know why I like Down Abbey and I don't like Bridgerton. It's strange. And I just,
It's a good peek into high society. That's another thing that I love about it. It's like a good peek into high society.
Maybe I'm not the peek into high society. Maybe that's not my thing.
Like, Down Abbey's literally high society.
They deal with other people. They're landlords. He deals with other people. And,
My God.
They do. And I don't know. Bridgerton's just missing something for me, I guess. And it's good.
You can't pinpoint why.
I have pinpointed. I didn't like the way it was properly. Pasted. I didn't like the way it lasted
But
too
I just
long.
Rebutted every single one of
you
your...
You did rebuttal, but I think I have valid points on why I didn't like it. I'm going to give my official rating. I am going to say it's not binge watchable.
It is so binge watchable. Come on.
What's your rating, DQ?
Oh, very binge watchable. I think Shonda Rhimes is very, like, her shows are very binge watchable. Like, Scandal. Well, I only really watch Scandal and Bridgerton. Like, it's just like a juicy romance period piece that you just want to eat up. Just, like, relax and see all these, like, rich people, like, fall in love and, like, gossip about each other and so much drama. Like, I don't understand what you mean
what
by you're
like
not entertained. Yeah, why you were not entertained.
Look,
and
season,
why you were
when
not
season two engaged. Comes out and it's great and it just blows me away, then sure, I'll change my rating.
But that is it. That is Bridgerton for you guys.
That's Bridgerton, so. And that was our wonderful discussion.
So the next show that we are going to be talking about is another period piece. This time, Aiden and I will take a break from all the ranting. and talk about a show that we both really enjoyed, and that is Apple TV Plus's new show, Dickinson.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic show.
Yes, love it.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing as, well, not really the same thing. It's similar in concept. It's mm-hmm. a remix of mm-hmm. of a period piece. But I thought it was, unlike Bridgerton, I thought it was mm-hmm. it was pretty refreshing.
Which is so weird to me because
I'm sorry, DQ, that I didn't like it.
No. I'm not. We're done with the attack for now. For now. But it's just so weird to me because Dickinson is much. It's like, in terms of like remixing and modernizing the period piece drama, Dickinson does it so much more than Bridgerton does. Like, so much more than Bridgerton does. Okay, what we mean by remix is like the music, for example. Like, Bridgerton would use like, what songs, like Thank You Next?
Yeah, no.
Taylor Swift.
I honestly didn't have a problem with that. And you are right. Yeah, I didn't do it a lot. I love it. I thought it was surprising. Yeah. But I was like, oh, I know this song. This is Thank You Next by Ariana Grande. So I know some people didn't like that, but I actually thought it was pretty funny. It was pretty cool.
And it's really cool because they play it within the show, and they do it in like an orchestral, like classical music mm-hmm. style. So yeah, which makes it more modern, which is not accurate to the actual historical setting.
And Dickinson does this a lot, and it does it in one way I will get into in a second. But there's a lot of what are a few music choices that Dickinson
well
used?
Not it's they're not as popular artists as like Ariana Grande or Billie Eilish, but they put like rap, they put like R&B, they literally, and the difference between that and Bridgerton is in Dickinson, they literally just place it within the show, like, just straight up, like, as if it's a part of the show. Like, they don't do it in some, like, period piece, like, orchestral way, like Bridgerton does. They literally just put it on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, in Dickinson, it's about the famous poet, Emily Dickinson, and it's about her life, how she aspires to be a poet, how her parents want her to pursue a more traditional life for the time period. Yeah. But Emily Dickinson really likes writing poetry, and that's kind of what the show is about. If it's about her own personal life.
Yeah, and she's not your typical woman that conforms to society. She's very much a rebel. She's very much like, I'm going to do my own thing type of girl, which is very unheard of back in that time period when women were conforming to what society and what men wanted out of them. So, yeah.
All the characters, that's the one thing. There's a lot of awesome characters. Like, also, like, Bridgerton, they got characters like onions. Like, they have a lot of layers to them.
A lot of layers.
But it's also pretty spicy. Like, I don't know, maybe not as spicy as Bridgerton, but Dickinson got pretty spicy at some
times. Dickinson does get pretty spicy in some scenes, which is really, are you talking about Emmy Sue?
I am talking about Emily and Sue.
I love. So this is technically not a spoiler, not really a spoiler.
Yeah, right at the very beginning.
Yeah, right at the very beginning, and it's actually part of Emily Dickinson's life. Did you know that it's based on real events? Like, there's a lot of like historical facts that a lot of Emily's poems were for this girl named Sue back in the 1800s, and they could have been like a real.
They could have been a couple. Like,
yeah, and it's so fascinating, and they explore that in the actual show.
They do. Hailee Steinfeld really is fantastic in the show as Emily Dickinson. All the actors are great. Jenna Maroney from 30 Rock. I don't know if you've watched 30 Rock.
Yeah, her name is Jane Krakowski. Like, that's the actress's name.
Yeah, but she's in this show. She's the mom, dad.
But the dad is really good.
He's good as well, but I wasn't too...
Of course.
The dad's kind of a meanie. He's a bit of a big meanie.
Yeah, in season one, he has a big conflict with Emily because, like, he's very traditional. He's very traditional. And Emily is very, like, not traditional. Mm-hmm. So they kind of clash. And us as, like, modern viewers, we obviously side with Emily because she has an outlook that's similar to us, whereas the dad is very traditional and says things that we do not like to say or we don't associate with, like, women should be like this, women should not go to school, women should not be published, you have to be a certain way. So
Oh my goodness, I think Emily Dickinson's poems became famous after she died, I believe, didn't they?
Yeah, they became famous after they died. And
there's a few characters I didn't like. This guy has a big crush on Emily Dickinson, and he is, oh my lord, so irritating. Oh my, he just falls around like a lost puppy.
I didn't mind George. Like, I can totally see why you don't like him and why you find him annoying. But the reason why I like him is that, like, he's kind of cute. So I kind of like him. But also, like, I feel like he supports her in a way, even though he does annoy her. He does support her, and, like, in terms of her poetry and stuff like that.
You are right. He needs to take a chill pill, maybe back off a little bit.
Yeah.
You are right, though. You are right, no. He does support her and her poetry. I'm pretty sure he's one of the very few people who actually knows about her doing poetry. And yeah, there's a few...
The one that cares about
Yeah, it, the one that cares. And there's a few really good scenes. I remember there was this one scene where both Sue and Emily dress up like men and sneak into a lecture. Like, great scene. Seriously, fantastic scene. And
it's just...
It makes you fall in love with the characters. Like, Emily and Sue are just a dynamic duo.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Like, they're one of a kind. And, like, I love that scene when they are dressed up as men and stuff like that, because that's so gay. Like, that, it's so gay, and I love it. Like, you know I love it. So, I don't know. I don't think that actually happened in real life, from what the history books say. But, like, it's such a... The writing in the show is so great. Like, it's so unique in balancing, like, modern themes with a historical setting. And that's another thing that's so modern about the show that I'm surprised that you like. The way they talk is not at all how they talk.
No, it's not.
In the 19th century.
Yeah, that's something I didn't notice. I'm not too much of a history buff. I didn't notice that at all. But maybe that's because they talk like we do in our time. I didn't notice it.
Yeah, because they literally talk like how me and you talk right now. Like, they say stuff like bro and like oh chill, like
I don't remember the pilgrim saying that. I don't remember telling the pilgrims like bro chill pilgrim.
Yeah, don't chill bro, like
but
and even in season 2 it just gets more like modern, like there are characters that literally just talk like fuckboy.
I will say I find it witty though. I found it funny, like
it's so funny. Yeah.
And there is we're talking about modernization. There was one scene, there's one cameo appearance. So, what's the guy's name? So this character, Death, is, Emily writes lots of poems about him, and one day he shows up, and it's time-traveling Wiz Khalifa! Wiz Khalifa shows up as Death on the show, and I was watching this with my family, and we were like shocked. I was laughing, because I'm like, oh my goodness, it's Wiz Khalifa.
It was so cool.
It was very, very cool to have Wiz Khalifa on the show. I know it's not supposed to try to be historically accurate. It's supposed to detail this woman's life, but Wiz Khalifa did a great job as Death.
Yeah, he's actually surprisingly really
he's
good
not
in the show.
He's not bad in Dickinson. For the brief time I've seen him in his little carriage and his little cane and top hat and glasses. One more thing I really like about Dickinson, there's lots of levity in the show. It's very lighthearted. But sometimes when the show's transition between being serious and funny, sometimes it doesn't have the payoff it's looking for.
But I can kind of see that.
But when but in Dickinson they do it very, very well. There's one scene where Emily reveals her poems to her father at dinner, and the father just loses it, and it's just you really feel that impact. You feel like Emily's really, like, really emotionally distraught, but you feel for Emily in that scene, because you can feel, like, how mad the dad is, and you really feel that emotional impact. So I thought they do it really well.
The performances are so good.
Yeah,
the performances are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm actually surprised that you like the characters in Dickinson more than in Bridgerton, because Dickinson has quite a few unlikable characters, like the dad.
The dad sucks. Unlikable. The dad's a total jerk.
And to be honest, like, Austin as well, like the brother, can also like kind of get on your nerves.
Yeah, I just feel like Emily and Sue are a stronger,
really strong.
I think they're a strong pairing. They're like you're really rooting for them all the way, and I feel like Emily is just I like her a little bit more than Daphne Bridgerton. I feel like she just
I will say that too. Yeah,
I feel like
I do like
Emily Dickinson is a stronger protagonist. I feel like Sue. I don't think maybe Sue's not as strong as Simon is. But I feel like they match up a little bit. But you end up liking both characters. It's a very interesting dilemma. They're both in.
I just feel the characters. I can empathize with them a little bit more. I feel like even the mom, you understand like where she's coming from.
Yeah.
She wants her daughter to have a happy life, but at the same time, it alludes to the fact that she wants Emily to kind of pursue her own passions and dreams, but she can't because the world they live in is a very patriarchal one. And even the dad a little bit, but the dad, if you remember in season 1, one of the scenes that
the dad comes clean. I think he's a little drunk, but he comes clean to Emily about to Emily about her poetry. And in that scene, he starts like crying. And it's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Emily. But in that moment, you feel for him a little bit.
You do feel for him, yeah.
But
and it's also kind of like that scene was it in the bedroom?
It was, yeah. But
He came in. It was also like really like scary and disturbing because like you can see this man is like so like down and like sinister because he still doesn't fully accept Emily for what she wants to do with her life. So it's just yeah.
I don't know. You make a good point. You do make a good point. I didn't think anything was gonna bad that was gonna happen in that scene. But like the father has a very cold, calculated, I know what I want, macho man demeanor, man of the household demeanor. But and it's also one of those great emotional impact moments where when he drinks and comes in Emily's room, like he's not Mr. Macho Man anymore. He's Mr. I'm kinda depressed and I'm sad that that my plan's not going my way. That's the one thing, if I'm comparing it to Bridgerton, I don't really get that impact from some of those characters. Only sometimes when you get to the onion layers peel back on characters in Bridgerton, but in Dickinson, I feel like these characters are much more a bit of a open book, and I think I like that more in a character.
Yeah, maybe. It's great. Another thing I want to talk about is the fact that Emily's a writer, and I'm a writer.
DQ is a very talented writer.
Oh, thank you, Aiden. Yeah, so the way that she, like her passion for writing and her passion for telling stories and, like, wanting to be known in the world and wanting to be seen is something that's very impactful and something that I like very much relate to as someone that's like of a couple minorities. So it's just seeing her journey is sort of like seeing my journey in terms of being a writer, but in terms of like gaining fame, especially in season 2, she struggles with that and I very much relate to that. So,
yeah, it's Emily, I think that also I like. It's one of the reasons I like Emily Dickinson so much. She's such a relatable character.
And Hailee Steinfeld embodies this character. Like, you really believe that she's the one. Like, she's the actual poet.
Yeah. Hailee Steinfeld is just a very talented performer. Like, she's got a great voice, great singer, a great actress. Man, she's got it all.
And she's gonna be in Hawkeye.
She's Kate Bishop. That's awesome.
So
she'd
excited.
Be a great Kate Bishop. I know a little bit about who Kate Bishop is. She'd be a great Kate Bishop. Yeah. In the meantime, my current rating for Dickinson, it is binge-watchable.
Yes, same here. It is absolutely... Both seasons, I've watched the whole thing, are absolutely binge-watchable. And it's becoming one of my favorite shows. Maybe one of my favorite shows ever in terms of, like, a show about writers.
Yay.
But that is all the time we have for today. Yeah, we hope you enjoy this new format.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.